You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 62, Apple Glasses? What a crazy, crazy week it's been for the United States and the world as we all reflect on the outcomes of the election. Donald J. Trump is now the president of the United States. And we had some things to say about this. And we tried not to ramble. And we did cut some things out. If you can get through that, the later half of this episode, we talk about some very interesting things that Apple is working on with augmented reality and wearables, specifically digital glasses. Nothing like what Google Glass did, but something probably more like just regular glasses. Michael thinks that what Apple is working on will be indistinguishable from regular glasses that people wear on an everyday basis. So tune in to find out what he has to say about that. And now the show. When everything is broken and
nothing's going right. Well, either democracy as we know it has ended and World War III is in about 6 months or not. Obviously, Donald Trump won the election through the Electoral College, I will point out, not the popular vote. Hillary Clinton actually stands to have the most votes for any presidential candidate in history by the time the votes have been completely tallied. Not that that matters at this point unless the Electoral College decides, which they never have, that the popular vote is more important than them.
So I found out about this afternoon, so I don't really know anything about this. So after the election results come in, it's possible that the vote could change?
Yes. So the way their system works is you don't actually vote for president. Your votes determine what the Electoral College electors in your state are supposed to vote. So if Trump wins a state, that means the members of the Electoral College for that state are supposed to vote for him on December 19th. So there's actually a second vote that happens on December 19th, and that's when the Electoral College votes. Now, traditionally, they're supposed to vote based on what the people voted, but they are not legally bound to do so. They could change their minds. They never have, which is why this is incredibly unlikely.
Yes.
But they are technically free to change their minds and vote for the other candidate. I believe the original intent of this was to prevent faulty results or as some kind of final safeguard against tyranny. Something like that. It's probably like buried in some obscure founding father speech or something. But of course, everyone would tell you, no, that's not how it is.
I saw there's a petition on change.org to get the Electoral College to change this, which I think I couldn't help but laugh at that because I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think that a lot of people just need to accept the fact that, you know, this is the system working and people voted for him.
The interesting thing about that is that in his most recent interview, and this is after winning, mind you, he continues to maintain that the Electoral College should be done away with and that the popular vote should win, which is how he won in the first place. So even though he won through the Electoral College, he still agrees that it should be a straight victory to who got more votes.
I agree with him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But it's like it's too little too late at this point.
Right.
Unless the impossible happens. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do want to just say one thing to anyone listening, to the American people, et cetera, et cetera. Do not normalize this president. Do not allow him to be normal. He is not normal. None of this is normal. And for the media to try and make this seem like any other president, any other cabinet, is incredibly irresponsible. He is going to name his chief advisor. He's going to name Steve Bannon as his chief advisor. The guy who was in charge of Breitbart, a known white supremacist and bigot. These are bad people. These are incredibly bad people. And for them to be at that level in this presidency, to have that amount of power, is incredibly dangerous. And the media is just kind of going, oh, he's a provocateur. Ooh, he's controversial. No, he's a white supremacist. A white supremacist is getting a position in the White House.
Are you talking about Trump now, or are you talking about the other guy?
Bannon.
Okay.
I mean, Trump, obviously, he said things, but it's really hard to know what the hell's going on with Trump. But the people he's putting around him, you can actually make a determination about those people based on their records. And Steve Bannon has shown himself to be nothing more than a disgusting excuse for a human being, to put it mildly. So, I mean, to anyone listening, resist, fight. Don't let this presidency do whatever it wants. Don't let the media normalize it. Where he tries to do things that make sense and might actually improve lives, sure, support that. But when they try to do things that hurt your fellow human, that demean the quality of life for others, destroy the basic freedoms that we all enjoy, when they try to do those things, you must resist. You must fight them at every step.
But how do you go about doing that?
Well, there are a lot of organizations trying to do that. The ACLU is a great place to start. More importantly, right now, there is a runoff election happening in Louisiana. If anyone can help with that election that's listening, do your utmost. If we secure a Democratic win there, then the Senate is 51-49 in favor of the Democrats. So the Republicans would be unable to muster a filibuster-proof majority or a simple majority. So they'd be unable to actually get legislation through unless the Democrats agree to it.
What I find fascinating in the very short time that presidential-elect Donald Trump has been, I guess he's not in office yet. He hasn't been sworn in. But obviously, he's been having a lot of meetings, and the information that has come out since he's been talking to media, I find it very strangely fascinating because, again, I mean, it's not surprising or news to anybody that he's been known to flip-flop on things and change his mind and say one thing and then change his mind the next day and say, I didn't say that, or just flat-out change his opinion about things. What I thought was really interesting was on some of the latest things that he said when someone questioned him about his aggressive rhetoric, just in general on the campaign, the entire Republican campaign that he had. He said, sometimes you need a certain rhetoric to get people motivated. And he said, and now it looks like he's even backing away from that grandiose idea of building a concrete and steel wall across the south of the U.S.-Mexico border. Now he's talking, well, maybe some areas could have some fencing. So he's already backing off on this massive thing. And I'm just wondering what Trump supporters even think of this so soon already. Now, like, that was like a the cornerstone of his campaign, and now he's saying, well, I don't know, maybe some areas could have fencing.
Yeah, it's really too early to say.
And he's also saying now that he wants to keep some parts of Obama's Affordable Health Care Act, which is shocking to me because he wanted to completely tear it down.
Well, I mean, it's a bit disingenuous because those parts are parts he can't get rid of anyway. Those particular pieces of the legislation were, I'm not sure exactly how, but basically it's impossible to get rid of them, at least not without incredible effort that they're incapable of mustering. It's really too early to say, but if we look to history, and I always do, you can find multiple examples of how this is essentially right out of the Hitler Nazi playbook. In the recent interview, Trump said, "Oh, I won't take a salary because whatever, I don't need it." Hitler did the exact same thing when he became chancellor. He would have received a salary of 40,000 Reichsmarks a year, and he turned it down to demonstrate his commitment to the state. That's actual history. You can look it up. Trump is doing the exact same thing right now. Moreover, the flip-flopping is also right out of the playbook. There's a New York Times article from 1933 that talks about how Hitler's anti-Semitic rhetoric was just to win votes, and they won't really be able to do all that stuff and things like that. Like, the parallels are utterly shocking. Like, I've been seeing dozens of examples of this on Twitter the past week.
What are you saying, though? Are you saying he's the next Hitler? I mean,
he could be. That is exactly what I'm saying.
That's nonsense.
It really isn't.
You can draw parallels to certain things that Hitler did, but to say that Trump effectively would be the next Hitler, I mean, we're talking about somebody who is responsible for mass genocide and the loss of billions of lives. So, I mean, if you're saying that billions of people will die, I mean,
lest we forget, Hitler was merely a figurehead. He started the vision. He started the direction. It was other people that carried the things out. And he is surrounding himself with white supremacists.
I don't think modern society today, especially with what we know, everyone's studied history. Everyone knows what's come before. I can't see society accepting a World War III on the same level as how World War II operated. I just can't see society accepting that, tolerating that exact same thing to happen.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that Trump would attempt to invade the rest of the world. No. What I am saying is another Holocaust could be possible.
I don't see I don't see that the U.S. would initiate anything like that. I mean, maybe if another, you know, one of the countries that they've been sort of, one of the countries that they've had somewhat of a contentious relationship with, I mean, maybe they might be the ones to start a nuclear war. I mean, hell, I mean, I think the entire world is watching and they're nervous about what North Korea is doing because they're ignoring.
That's not what I'm talking about.
But what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Trump presidency leading to genocide within America, based on what we've seen, based on the people he's putting in his cabinet. It's a very real possibility if it's allowed to happen. These are people who have talked about killing Jews. These are people who have talked about killing Muslims. And if they get power, how long before talk turns into action?
I don't think anyone would accept that.
That's what people in Germany said.
Okay, fine.
You always think it'll never happen until it happens. The lens of history gets very warped. You say, oh, that could never happen again. But it has happened over and over again. So, sure, it might not take the same form. It might not be exactly the same. But similar events could easily take place in America because people turn a blind eye. That's the thing. You've got all these problems with terrorism. You've got all these problems with illegal immigration. As valid or not as they may be, it's easy to scare people with those things. So it's not that difficult to imagine a future where they start talking about rounding people up, and then they do, and everyone's like, well, it's not me, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, but he just wants to deport criminals, known criminals. Well, obviously, that's easier said than done.
He hasn't talked about criminals. He's talking about deporting all illegal immigrants.
No, that's not what he said. Where are you getting this information? I'm pretty sure he's on record. He's on record
saying a lot of things.
But I'd have to look at the campaign again. But everything that I've heard, he said...
Initially, he talked about deporting everyone.
Maybe he said that initially, but I'm pretty sure part of what the official campaign states is that he's talking about, and especially during the presidential debates, he talked specifically about finding the gang members, the drug dealers, those people that are here illegally, which, by the way, the numbers that he's given are so far off. So far off. I think he said, 3 million illegal criminals? But apparently a lot of experts are estimating somewhere around the 600,000 mark. So I don't know where he got 3 million from.
He probably got 3 million from the fact that that's how many Obama has deported in 8 years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Obama has actually deported people.
Right.
And that's where he's getting the 3 million from.
Any country
does that. Those 3 million are over 8 years. So, I mean, that would equate to 375,000 a year. So that would be consistent with the projections of how many illegal criminals are currently in the U.S.
You know, I got to get something off my chest. This has really been bothering me this weekend. Maybe it shouldn't, because people's political leanings and who they vote for really isn't any of my business. But maybe you can relate to this, Michael, and perhaps some of the listeners. Do you ever been in a situation where someone that you know really well, that you consider a very close friend, you find out that they have voted for someone that you feel is completely the opposite of who should be running a country? And then you just get sad. And then you start questioning yourself, why? Why did they vote for that person? So what happened was, this weekend, I went out of town. I'm not even going to say who this was, where it was, but I spent some time with a friend of mine that I haven't seen in a while, and we go back a long way, and I consider him one of my best friends. Very, very strong friendship, and I would say he is, first of all, he's living in the U.S. now, but he's a Canadian citizen. He got his American citizenship, and he voted, and we were talking about the results of the election, and he said he voted for Trump, and it took me by surprise because I know he's very liberal, and I was perplexed because he is a minority in the grand scheme of things. He's not white, so I didn't understand why he would vote for Trump, but his answer, it wasn't a particularly complicated answer, but he basically just said he didn't think either candidate was all that great, but he liked Hillary less. And he said he likes a good underdog story. And it's surprising to me, and I'm not going to judge that person, but it really made me question and maybe reflect on how many other people feel that way. But, you know, the protesters in New York...
And L.A. And Seattle.
Right. Well, one of them was interviewed by the CBC, and he said something to the... I'm paraphrasing here. But he basically said that, you know, if you vote for Trump, you're basically... Even though you may not consider yourself a racist or a bigot or anti-LGBTQ, he said that, you know, that means that you... All the other issues, the important issues that obviously Trump doesn't seem to care about, you're basically making a statement that none of those things are important to you. And I agree with him. And that's what makes me so sad, that someone know was able to basically ignore all the other stuff about Trump's personality just because one or two things in his campaign appealed to him, and he liked Hillary less.
Yeah. I mean, you say you don't want to judge your friend, but I'll judge him. He turned a blind eye to very overt racism and bigotry. He decided that was okay because of one or two things that he liked. And that's just not okay at all. People really needed to think long and hard about this stuff. And instead, they just...
They didn't.
Blindly went with, well, I don't like Hillary all that much. And Trump talks about like shutting down the government and getting rid of the elites and all this other stuff. Well, I mean, let's pick that apart. Like, what does elite really mean to these people? Looking at all of it, what it really seems to mean is anyone college educated, anyone that thinks for themselves. That's what elite means to these people now. That's how they're using it. And then Trump talks about draining the swamp and getting rid of all this stuff. But look at who he's putting on his cabinet. Look who's on his transition team. He's got politicians that have been working in Washington for over 30 years on his team. So, you know, like how genuine is anything that he says? He can't be trusted. Everything he says is a lie.
And Trump says he actually does support LGBT rights.
He said it a long time ago, but that's all well and good. His running mate believes in shocking gay teens until they're straight.
Yeah, this is what I don't understand, because he's all like, Trump is all over the map. And, you know, I sent this to you earlier today, but there was an article from the Associated Press. Trump is considering a woman to run the Republican Party and an openly gay man represent the U.S. at the United Nations. So doesn't that kind of break your brain, how he's all over the map? Says this one thing, does another thing, considering an openly gay person. I mean, I don't, what is going on? What is he really?
It's all misdirection.
What does he really believe?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? It's basically gaslighting. He's gaslighting America. He says one thing and then he's like, what are you talking about? I never said that. He's basically making us feel like we're crazy, to throw us off balance, to keep us from seeing what he's actually doing.
Well, that's how I feel right now. I'm questioning my own sanity because I don't know what he believes in. And because I feel like I'm being manipulated.
Yeah, you are. That's the whole point of this. He's being as ridiculous and absurd as possible so that nobody sees what he's actually trying to do. And in fact, just earlier, an Associated Press tweet came out. Oh, no, this is CBS. Trump has apparently asked Obama officials how his children can receive top secret security clearance to see intelligence data. His children, people who were supposed to be running a blind trust and controlling his company so there would be, quote, no conflict of interest, even though that's hilarious. A massive conflict of interest. And now he's asking if they can
get blind trust.
Secret intelligence.
It's not a blind trust, what he was talking about.
He's effectively creating a ridiculous nepotism scheme with his kids. Not only are they going to be running his company, but apparently they're going to be helping run the country too.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah. You'd hope, but the thing is, you've got all these well-meaning white liberals sitting on the other side going, oh, it's not that bad. It'll be okay. Just give him a chance. Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, all these things are happening and the things he's talked about will directly impact people that aren't you. So maybe get a grip on reality and actually do something instead of take on this ridiculous appeasement strategy. Like, that's what it is. It's all normalization and appeasement. It's like, oh, he's not really that bad. It'll be fine. He won't do anything horrible. Yeah, he won't if we don't let him. That's the whole point. By just sitting there with your head in the sand going, it'll all be okay, before you know it, everything won't be okay. So, I mean, that goes back to my original point. We have to fight him at every step of the way. Everything he tries to do that's not above board, we have to scream at the top of our lungs until he doesn't do it. Because if you let him get away with one thing, he'll think he can get away with more things. And then before you know it, America won't be America anymore.
Right.
And that's before we even get into all the powers Obama has that he hasn't gotten rid of, that Trump will have access to when he becomes president. like all the NSA stuff and using drones to kill people with impunity and so on and so on.
The previous administration is not, they don't have their hands completely clean as far as the drone things are concerned. I mean, there have been numerous incidents that have come out where people that should not have been killed were killed, innocent people. So the drone thing is kind of scary.
Sure. Hope for the best, but like I think basically hope for the best, expect the worst, and fight tooth and nail to keep the worst from happening. Yes, it would be great if he turns out to just be a mediocre president that kind of bumbles around and doesn't really get to do any of the stuff he swore he'd do. That would be the best case scenario here, but we have to expect the worst case scenario, and we have to be ready to stop it. So everybody needs to be extremely vigilant and just keep an eye out. And if you have friends who are minorities, if you have friends who are gay or lesbian or transsexual, you need to keep an eye out for them too, because this isn't just about the Trump presidency. His victory has opened a door that makes racists and bigots think it's okay to express their views openly, sometimes violently. Cases of hate crimes have gone up a considerable amount in the days since his victory. So if you have friends who could be impacted by this, keep an eye out for them and do what you can. It's going to be toughest on them, even if we keep Trump from being able to do things, because there's still a lot of hate out there.
Okay, well, we better move on. I think that's enough of that.
Okay.
Sort of spiral into depression here.
Yes. So we will move on to some tech stuff.
Yeah. So what's going on? Apple's doing some stuff with contact lenses, is it? Glasses?
Yeah. Yes. So Bloomberg is reporting that Apple is working on smart glasses that use augmented reality.
And they'll look just like Google Glass, right?
So I think on a previous episode, I mentioned this is exactly what they would do, or at least mentioned it at some point to someone. Basically, ever since Tim Cook started talking about augmented reality, I've been thinking about this. And based on recent announcements that they've made and tech they've developed, I am pretty sure I know more or less what they're going to be. So imagine, if you will, a pair of Ray-Ban Wayfarers with clear lenses, maybe slightly thicker than real Ray-Bans, possibly an aluminum frame, with maybe one or two buttons on the side and a few LED status lights. And then imagine built into these glasses is a 3D display in each eye using projection technology. PrimeSense gesture tracking. They bought PrimeSense quite a while ago. They were the Israeli company that developed the Kinect sensor for Microsoft. Of course, they continued to develop the tech and improved on it considerably. And Apple's owned them for about November 2013. So they've had access to 3D sensing technology for gesture tracking and real world object detection for 3 years now. In 10 days exactly, it'll have been 3 years. Most Apple purchases have a tail of about 4 to 5 years, depending on how complex the technology is. So based on the Bloomberg article, the glasses being ready in 2018, that would fit with that timeline. So imagine a dedicated chip inside these glasses combined with sensors built into the frame itself. So literally around the eyes, perhaps, that can track your hands perfectly one-to-one in real time. Then, of course, beamforming microphones that are in the AirPods to achieve superior voice recognition, discrete directional speakers that beam sound into your ears, or bone induction speakers that are just behind your ear that tap into the eardrum and allow you to hear sound without headphones. Then probably some dedicated chips for machine vision and a few other goodies. and a W2 chip for high speed, stable data connection. Oh, and a shit ton of batteries.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because what are your predictions about how they address the battery life on something that small, that thin? I mean, the battery would only be able to fit in the frame, the actual arms that go around your ears, right?
Apple has patents for shaped batteries. They can make batteries in very specific custom shapes. They haven't used it to date, but it would be a perfect technology to use on glasses because, as you say, they can shape them directly into the frame. Basically, on the side each year, there could be a whole battery pack in there. Obviously, that could be kind of dangerous, but I mean, Apple designs these things pretty well and they test them rigorously. So,
how is this any different than Google Glass, which looks like glasses, but kind of not?
So this would look like a regular pair of glasses. Like the concept I'm imagining is literally something that looks like Ray-Bans.
Okay, so just basically indistinguishable from a standard pair of glasses.
Yeah, so you've got this magic pair of Ray-Bans. They're probably made of metal, maybe. There's an LED on there to let you know that they're Apple glasses. I don't think it'll have a camera built in. The only cameras it'll have are probably for the PrimeSense tracking and object recognition system. So it might have cameras in order to see things, but you won't be able to take photos with them.
Yeah, we're way too early for that level of good photography.
Oh, no, like they could put cameras, but I think they'll make the choice not to include them.
Hmm.
Because I think the biggest problem with Google Glass was that people felt very threatened by the idea that somebody could take photos of them with a pair of glasses.
Yes.
Now, Google Glass was very obviously not glasses, but the damage was done. These devices, however, will look like glasses, and then it'll be very difficult to tell if they're smart glasses or not. Because Apple will design that in, like, mm-hmm. They'll basically make everything invisible to the point where more or less you'd be pretty sure it's a regular pair of glasses, if slightly bulky. Right.
And so this would, I guess, just pair with your iPhone because they wouldn't have any space for an LTE chip or anything like that in there, right?
No, the glasses would pair directly to the iPhone. It'll probably use the W2 chip, the next generation version of their super high quality Bluetooth chip.
I wonder if they'll be able to, the thing that I want in something like this is facial recognition. So you can do things, for example, like if I walk up to you at the mall and you say, "Hey Alex, how's it going?" And I don't remember who you are, but I know I've probably met you somewhere, that the cameras in the glasses like can do facial recognition, then match your face to your Facebook profile and tell me that you're Michael Norton.
I'm going to say that Apple will not allow that.
But see, I want that. That's useful.
I know you want that, but you have to think about the greater privacy ramifications of having that. Somebody could make an app that allows you to get the social data for anybody you look at. It would take stalking to a whole new level.
It shouldn't be up to Apple to make that decision for me. If you have a social media profile and it's public, your information is public. Why shouldn't that be shared? Why shouldn't Apple Glasses be able to get that information? If you want it to be private, mark your profiles private completely.
It's a slippery slope. And the thing is, Apple doesn't necessarily 100% control the hardware. People can jailbreak stuff. Or they can create custom apps that they can sideload using Xcode.
Yeah, but I'm sure they wouldn't be held responsible for that.
No, but the thing is, they will definitely disallow it on their own platform.
Because you're saying they don't want any chance that somebody could do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I mean, I could be proven wrong. Maybe they'll find a way to make it safe somehow, but given their stance on privacy and given their stance on making things secure, I don't think it's a good idea to include something like that just because of the possibility of misuse. It's possible it could do some limited Like, there will be stuff in there to detect objects and to read things. So, like, for an example, if you're in an Apple store and you have a pair of Apple glasses on and you're looking at a MacBook, it'll show you like a floating modal of here's the price, here are the specs, you can look through different things, you can compare it to other Macs, stuff like that. It'll totally be able to do things like that. I think unless it's very carefully handled, being able to scan a face and go, oh, this is that person, could be extremely dangerous.
I think at the very least what they could do is if I have you on my iPhone as a contact with a picture, that's consent. I have that, but I may not remember you just by like me kind of, maybe I haven't seen you in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So then it can, it can look to the data that's already on the device, which is encrypted, and go, oh, well, this person's in your contact and I know that's Michael. So I'll tell you it's Michael.
I think that limited use case would definitely be allowed. They would probably add that in.
Yeah, that would be better than nothing.
Yeah, I could see them adding something like that in because, yeah, your contact data is encrypted on the phone. You add a photo or you scan them in using the glasses or something. Like you meet someone for the first time, you exchange contact information. You're like, oh, can I scan you in? And they're like, yeah. So then you take their photo and bam.
Right.
The next time you see them, it can do things like display their latest social media updates or something so that you have things to talk about.
Right. Can you imagine what...
creating shut-ins.
Can you imagine what a Google version of this would look like? It would not only match...
capture everything, facial recognition, everything.
Well, yeah. And it would, because of all the mass data that they collect as your... not just who you are, but your behavior... it could be like, oh, this is Michael Norton, and this is the last thing that he bought, or these are his shopping habits, and you can...
yeah, exactly. It could track everything that you look at, even. If it has eye tracking, it could basically figure out when you walk through a store, these are the things you look at. These are the ads you looked at. Like, they could create Google AdWords for physical space, where... if people wearing the glasses look at a particular poster, somebody gets paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to happen, I think, at some point. Advertising has to evolve with technology.
It does.
And
but
it's
the thing is, if Apple manages to hit the mainstream of this, like I would say right now for augmented reality, Microsoft has the enterprise. They absolutely have the enterprise locked up with HoloLens. HoloLens is out there and it is actively changing industry. The company I work for actually has built a giant warehouse where we're working on AR tech with the HoloLens. There's been some really exciting work there. shameless plug here.
That's fine.
So, I mean, HoloLens is definitely got enterprise locked up. So they're working on industrial things. They're working on business things. I mean, AR has massive potential, but I think Apple is probably the one that's going to nail the customer space because Google already tried it and failed because they fundamentally misunderstand what people are ready to accept and they fundamentally misunderstand how that tech should be used. And it shouldn't be used to constantly scan everything and take photos of everything and... whatever, because people will see that as a very obvious breach of their privacy. So I think the approach Apple is rightly going to take is these devices can scan the world around you, but they don't capture it per se. They simply read it and identify it and provide additional information as required. Like a magical machine vision Wikipedia that lives on your face kind of thing. And I mean, that's not just limited to identifying things. It's also maps. Apple Glasses maps, it could literally draw a path for you. If you're driving in your car and you just tap the side of the glasses and go, or just go, hey Siri, get me directions to wherever. And a path will literally be drawn on the road before you. No voice directions necessarily, just a path that you can follow, kind of like what shows up in Grand Theft Auto when you turn GPS on. Instead of voice directions, the game actually displays a yellow line that you can follow to get to your destination. So with augmented reality, the same thing would be possible in physical space. And then obviously physical locations, you could do things like check in on Foursquare. You could look directly at a restaurant and see if they have any open table reservations and do all that with just the glasses, that kind of thing. Like the watch is really useful, but because of the screen size, the input is incredibly limited. But with glasses, if the field of vision is wide enough to the point where it captures your entire line of sight, it's essentially infinite content space mapped onto reality. So just by looking at things, you could be able to do dozens and dozens of interactions at a time with gestures and with voice commands. We'll just have to see if it actually happens.
Well, it sounds like this is actually closer to reality than, and not that far out.
No, I mean, it seems like Apple has been working on this for a long time. I mean, Tim Cook has been very bullish on the future of AR, which seemingly tips their hand. And based on the companies that Apple's bought, it's pretty clear that AR is something they've actively been looking at for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
PrimeSense in particular, the HoloLens itself, the way that it does gesture commands, it has a Kinect built into it. And Kinect was designed by the company that Apple now owns.
So that I wasn't aware of.
If anyone can drastically improve on that technology and miniaturize it into something even more portable, it stands to reason that the company that invented it would be the ones to do it. And of course, Apple controls them. And then obviously that technology could theoretically trickle down into other things. I'm not sure it really works for any other device, though. Like being able to do gestures, it wouldn't really work for a MacBook. Probably doesn't work for an iPhone or an iPad. The watch, maybe. If it had like a gesture field, you just kind of swipe over the watch to do things. I could see that being a possibility, maybe. Just kind of extending the touch input to an area just above and around the watch. That'd be kind of cool.
Do you still think this thing is coming out in 2018?
It's going to depend on a bunch of things. Like, can they make chips that are small enough? Can they fit enough battery into it without making it ridiculously bulky? I mean, the first version obviously doesn't have to be everything that they want it to be.
Well, that it definitely won't be.
No. So, I mean,
that's fine.
First and foremost, it has to have the gestures. It has to have the screen in both lenses. It has to have a microphone. And it has to last a long time and be able to connect to the iPhone with a relative degree of stability. So as long as all of those things align, I don't see why they couldn't release it 2 years from now. It could, like, I could see it being a winter announcement, basically being just in time for Christmas. They're like, kind of like how they unveiled the Apple Watch to start with.
I mean, it wouldn't be useful to anybody that needs prescription lenses, because I don't think they'd be able to get prescription glass with that technology.
Oh, I'm sure that Apple has thought of that. I mean, it's Apple.
Because that eliminates, obviously, a lot of people.
Like, that was the other thing with Google Glass. They didn't even consider that to start with. The whole prescription thing ended up being an option, like, 3 or 4 months after they started releasing the Explorer Edition. Like, it wasn't even on their radar until after it came out. But Apple, on the other hand, that is something they absolutely will consider. I mean, Apple is probably the only tech company that really cares about accessibility. On that note, I think it's actually great that they now have a page on their website that talks about that in length. Because, yeah, they have done a lot to support people with disabilities so that they can use their Apple products.
It's shameful that Apple seems to be the only company that cares about that.
Yeah, it's really quite sad. Like, I think Microsoft and Google do try now. Android has gained quite a lot of accessibility features, but Apple still holds the crown for this stuff between macOS and iOS and even watchOS, though they took a little longer to get that right by adding wheelchair exercise. Because, of course, in its initial incarnation, the watch asked you to stand every hour, which, as you can imagine, was kind of depressing for some people. So they finally fixed that with watchOS 3, thankfully. All of their other stuff, just an outstanding level of support. I mean, the amount of things you can customize, the amount of accessibility devices that they support mouth switches and just any accessibility device you can imagine, it'll work with macOS and iOS, which is incredible. But yeah, I mean, going back to the glasses, based on that history of accessibility support, there's no way they haven't thought of prescription lenses. My guess would be that you can actually, like, they'll have come up with some novel, ridiculous magic thing, kind of like the Apple Watch, where it's like, oh, you just pull this thing and then the lenses pop out and you can put lens crafters in there, no problem, or something. And that'll be it. Like, they'll have designed the projection system to work with any lens. What it might ask you to do is hold the lens in front of the glasses so it can scan and compensate for chromatic aberration. Because obviously every lens is different and it needs to compensate to be able to display correctly on it. Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be possible for them to have some kind of quick release system for the lenses that allows you to put prescription ones in. Or sunglasses, or whatever you want.
All of that sounds exciting, and I guess we'll have to see what happens over the next couple of years. I'm sure Tim Cook will give us more hints.
Oh, I'm sure. And the thing is, all of the stuff they've been doing with self-driving cars also kind of factors into that, because what have they been working on for self-driving cars? Machine vision, being able to scan the environment and detect objects around you. And what would that be perfect for? Augmented reality. So it all just kind of funnels back in on itself. Even if they are still working on a car, those breakthroughs are also going to help the glasses. I feel confident that 2018 is probably about the right time for a product like that, though there obviously at this point is a likely delay. Like, if they can't get the batteries to work right, if they can't get the gestures to work right, like there's a ton of things that could go wrong with something like this where it needs more time in the oven. If not 2018, I could see it being ready 2019, 2020. We'll basically have to wait and see the reports that come out over the next year, because I'm sure there will be more. This is just the first scoop. We'll probably start hearing about other things. Obviously, Tim Cook will run his mouth off at some point being coy about stuff. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yeah, I don't know. I think it just makes perfect sense for them to go into this. And now that the A series chips are becoming basically as fast as a desktop, it makes sense to start moving in this direction, because at some point, you don't really need a desktop if your Apple glasses can generate 50 desktop displays in thin air. Though that's much further down the road. Well, maybe not that much further down the road, but yeah, that'll probably take a while longer than the actual product.
You've been listening to The Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. If you'd like to show your support, please become a monthly sustaining donator. It is the single best way to show your support for the work that we do on this podcast every week. To do that, go to patreon.com/hologramradio and give a buck or two. Subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast player of choice. We're in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and wherever else you can find podcasts. And if you are in iTunes, please take a moment to drop us a rating. It makes us feel good, and it also helps other people find the podcast. Follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction, and Hologram Radio can be found on Facebook and Instagram. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, send us an email to theimpromptu@hologramradio.org.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.